And so he penned this letter to encourage them. He'd been there for 18 months. He's been away at least 4.5 years, probably a little bit longer than that. I believe he wrote this while he'd been in Ephesus, which was about 3 years that he had spent there. So he is writing this letter to encourage these folks. These folks weren't heretical. They were carnal. There's a difference between those two. And so he's trying to point out some things to encourage them and strengthen them in their faith and help them so they can grow and continue to walk with the Lord. So he's addressing problems that are brought to his attention, and he's pretty specific about these, and he's trying to, just like I say, strengthen these folks and encourage them. Remember, this church is one that there's a lot of pride here. In this church, everybody's, my gift's better than your gift. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on, a lot of divisions. I'm following Apollos. I'm following Paul. And I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ. And on it goes. And everybody has these situations in their lives. And so Paul is just trying to encourage them and say, look, let's follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's keep our eyes on him. And so he begins and he shares these things. He talks about the wisdom of this world, how it's of none effect for us as Christians. We want God's wisdom in our lives. And to find God's wisdom is to know his word, is to study and to have that knowledge and understanding and gain that wisdom that we can actually apply it. Christianity is not something that we just read about, come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's something that we live. We practice Christianity. That's what we're trying to do, is to learn what the Bible teaches and to have that wisdom that we can make decisions based on the Word of God, apart from how I feel about it or apart from what sometimes I think. God's Word is the most important guide for me, and I don't always look at it in the right way, don't always follow it like I should, but He's there to give it to me if I will seek Him. And that's what he wants us to do, is seek him and to find more about him. And so Paul is writing. He's in chapter 2. I'm going to read, beginning in verse 9. We've already covered several of these verses, but I'm going to begin reading verse 9, go down to chapter 3, verse 4 this morning, and we'll see if we get that far or not, but that's where we'll be heading. So if you will follow along in your Bibles in chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning. We thank you for how you can use it in our lives and how we can come to you and seek that knowledge and understanding, Father. Father, the hardest thing, I think, for often is the knowledge seems to be easy. Sometimes the understanding not so, and then the wisdom. To be able to apply it, to be able to use it in our lives. And Father, I just pray you would help each one of us as we look to you this morning. And Father, I thank you for these folks here, these folks who love you and have a desire to serve you. I pray you just bless them and strengthen them and continue to help them to look to you and trust you. Help us all, Father. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here he is again, trying to help these folks see. Yes, there was a time when the Jews would not understand. They didn't have eyes to see, ears to hear. That was on them. For all the history they had with God, they rejected him so often. So he said that they would be blind in part. Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 explained a lot of that as well. But then he turns the tables in verse 10. He says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And who is unto us? He's talking to the church here. It's Christians. God has revealed these things to us. He's given us, and it was, how did he do it? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know, when sometimes we pray, we don't know how to pray. The Spirit will help us, Romans chapter 8 tells us, that God is there to guide us and direct us in these things. Even when we don't know necessarily what to do, he will come and help us do these things. And verse 11 says, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? The question is, of course, is rhetorical. Man knows what man's like. We know how we behave. We know how we act. We know what the natural man does, right? Because we've all been the natural man. We've all been there. Those that are lost, that's the natural man. Verse 11, he says, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. We can't know God without the Spirit of God. You can't know God without the Spirit of God. And that's where we're going to pick up in verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It's the Spirit that helps us discern and have the wisdom that God has given us through the Word of God. As we read and study the Word of God, that Spirit that indwells us will help us to guide and to understand these things. God's given to us to know His will. We won't understand everything, maybe never, but He is going to give us something. And He will give it to us on a daily basis if we'll search it out. He wants us to grow and to continue in this walk, to learn day by day, to find out what does it mean to live this life that God's called us to live. And so He's given us that Spirit inside of us. Turn to John chapter 14 for a second. Take your marker and just hang on there for it. John chapter 14. It's here that, Kleenex. Sorry, brother. Usually have some up here. Didn't catch it. But here he shows and demonstrates to us, thank you, in the Word of God, exactly what was going to take place when he left. And this was a promise to his disciples. It's a promise to us. It's something God has given to us. And that is something that is special that the world does not have. The world can't even know it. And he tells them that right here in verse 16 in chapter 14. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That is a promise. Just like we're sealed into the day of redemption, that's a promise that that Spirit will abide with you. How long? Forever. Another verse of assurance. Even the Spirit of truth, that's the Spirit that God has given us. The Spirit of truth. Where do we find truth at? Right here. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them with thy truth. And he says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so he's just telling them and stressing this point that when I leave, you're not going to be by yourself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the three in one is going to indwell in you through the Spirit of God. He will be there to help you, to guide you in this life. You're not going to be alone. And he told us in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He's talking to his disciples, obviously. And the real crux of this is that later on when I'm gone, the Holy Spirit, that when you receive him, which they did on Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, he's going to bring to your remembrance all the things that I want you to put down in writing. But you know that same Holy Spirit will help us and guide us in the things that we already have in our hand this morning called the Bible. He will help us to understand these things. He said, I will teach you all things. That's what the Spirit of God will do. It will teach us all things about this life. Look over in verse 26 of chapter 15. He says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, whom the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. They're going to bear witness because they have the Spirit of God that's inside of him, or inside of us, that witness that will bear that'll bear witness. So he indwells us. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, he says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. And then he says, which temple ye are? The statement is, which temple ye are? Ye are of the temple of the Holy Spirit, your temple of God. And God has given us that ability to understand his word. As we, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, but ye have an unction. That unction is a special endowment that God has given to us from the Holy One, and ye know all things, John writes, the same John that's writing this. And John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. That's that Spirit of God. That's that anointing, that unction that God has given to us, to be able to live this life that is very difficult without the Spirit of God or walking in the Spirit. He says, by the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Talking about abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ with the Spirit. Any person that puts their faith and trust in Christ and takes the Bible and sits down and seeks God earnestly, he will reveal to them the next step of their life. He will do that. Now, he may not tell you everything at that point, and I'm glad he doesn't. If he did, I'd run around and go the other direction. I give up. I quit. I'm not doing this. But he'll get you to that first step, and then he'll give you another step and another step. And that's what he wants to do in our lives, that Spirit of God that guides us and directs us in this life that he's called us to live. And Paul is just reminding these folks here at this church that this is what they have. God has given that to them. Now, again, I don't want to be hard on these folks because they don't have what I have. They don't have the completed canon. They can't sit down and compare. They're comparing Scripture with Scripture, and he's going to tell us to do that, is the Old Testament. Most of that, it's not what we have. We can look at the New Testament and the Old Testament and compare Scripture with Scripture. They have what Paul gave them, and they have the Old Testament. And that's what they have. If they had the whole complete Testament, I have no Old Testament, I have no idea. But they had Scripture, we know, because he tells them. So in verse 13, he says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. You know, man has a lot of things they want to say. I mean, over the years, you're all adults here, right? There was a time when they said, you need to buy the formula and feed your kids with formula. That's the best thing for them, when ladies were doing breastfeeding. And then they came back out and said, nope, that's not right. The breastfeeding's better. And that's the way they do. That's man's wisdom. Don't eat eggs. They're bad for you. Oh, you better eat eggs. They're good for you. So you never know, because man doesn't know. He's guessing. He doesn't really know. But the wisdom that we want and understand comes from the Word of God. And that's where we can learn about the things of God and understand what's right and what's not right. God will give us that peace that passeth all understanding. That is a wonderful, if you want to, a feeling. It is. To know that you're walking with God, you're right where he wants you to be, and he's guiding and directing you. It's like this morning when I got up, I said, boy, I'm a day closer to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I mean, I'm excited the fact that God is there. He's always there. I can wake up in the first thing in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for another opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given to me. I mean, it is there. God has done that for us. He says that we're not to use man's wisdom. but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And then he says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. There are a lot of good men who have written commentary about the Bible. A lot of good, honest men that have made some mistakes as well. And so that's why you have to be careful and weigh the commentaries, because the commentary is a man's opinion. Now, that's not to say that their opinion is always wrong, because a lot of times it is. But that's also to say that sometimes it's right. Wrong and right. Right and wrong. So the thing is though, we want to be careful. This is where we want to go. We want to find out something we want to find out through the Scripture. Psalm 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. You know that number seven, that's the number of perfection or completion. You see that many times in Scripture, that number seven. The priest sprinkled the blood seven times. And so the Word of God is tried seven times, it says, as silver. Proverbs 35 through 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word perfect means complete. Revelation 22:18-19, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of this words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. His word has been settled, the Bible tells us, forever in Psalm 119:89. So as we look at the Word of God, we see what God has given to us. It takes time, we know that, too, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, as we continue to grow. And again, remember in the context, who's he talking to here? He's talking to carnal Christians, okay? So don't forget the context, because that's important. And carnal means flesh, okay? That's what that word means. And he's talking to Christians that are really living just like the world. You probably couldn't tell a whole lot of difference between them and the world. They put their faith and trust in Christ. He knew that. He was there. He saw it. There was evidence in their life, but yet they were still struggling with the things of the world. It had their attention, and they were following those things, and they were fighting because of that, and then pride in their life. In 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We want to grow. That word of God, getting in there and growing, step by step, asking God to help us. 2 Peter 3:18, Peter wrote, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. John 5:39, search the Scriptures, Jesus said, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. And so as we learn the Bible, as we look to the Lord, we want to get that knowledge. Knowledge is just the facts. Here's what it says. Then we want to get the understanding. There are deep things of God. You know, you read a verse and you think, well, that's just face value. That's what it means. It does. There is a literal interpretation of every verse in the Bible. But there are also deep things inside of there that without the Spirit of God, you'll not be able to discern, be able to understand. Just like we look at types in the Bible. You take somebody who's lost and they look at those things. They're going to have a hard time thinking that's a type of Christ. How are they going to put that together? It's the Spirit of God that helps us to see. Oh, wow, they're right there. God is pointing to Jesus Christ way back here. That is the things that we discover in the Word of God as we seek it out and search it. We get that understanding, and then through the understanding, we can apply it to wisdom in our choices, our financial choices, raising our children. The things that we look at, the places we go, all of that is in here. God gives it to us in wisdom of the Word of God. And He has a purpose behind each one of those things, that we may grow and become more like Him. In Matthew chapter 11, you don't have to turn there. I quote it, but I mess it all up, so I don't want to do that. But Jesus, He was talking to His disciples. He said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, That's what we're talking about here, is learning of Christ, to be Christ-like. You know, Christ didn't come. He didn't come eating and drinking and having a good time. I can't find that yet in the Bible. I've been looking for it. I can't find it there. It wasn't about having entertainment. Christ didn't come to be entertained. I can't find anywhere where he sat down and watched a show. You know, I don't see that in there. Now, we're not Christ. I understand that. But we are to follow him and grow and become more like him. And I don't know about you, but I am realizing more and more, and I hate to say this because I'm already close to the end of my life, that I have wasted so much time on so many things that aren't going to mean anything. Not anything. But we see Christ. We want to learn of him, he says. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes we think about that. Your yoke is easy? Christianity is not easy. It's not when it's done in the flesh. It is not easy in the flesh because you have to fight yourself in the spirit. Spirit says go, and you say no. And so it's hard. But when it's in the spirit, then it is easy. It's a complete surrender. A complete letting go of my desires and my whims and wants. That is easy when you can do it. It's hard to do it. Right? Amen? Amen. Right. We're all in that battle. But that's what we're trying to learn through the Word of God. And so Paul is addressing some of these things. And we want to learn about the Savior. And part of that is 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And God has given that to us. That's how we learn about salvation. That's how we learn about baptism. That's how we learn to serve our Lord. That's how we know about the freedom we have in Christ. You know, you have to study the Bible and compare Scripture to Scripture, because if you don't, you'll come away a Calvinist. Or you'll come away with baptismal regeneration. There are denominations built on this stuff. Or you'll come away with the Catholics building the church like the Old Testament with the priesthood and all that. To me, I don't even understand how they can do that. If you read the New Testament, you don't see any of that in there. And yet, their foundation is based on that. Of course, Constantine back in 300-something B.C. or after Christ, A.D. But nonetheless, that's why we compare Scripture with Scripture, so we know what the truth is. But then, let's move on to the next verse here. And he just talks about this. There's three people that he talks about in the passage that we're getting ready to go to. The first one is the natural man. He says, but the natural man, this is the person who's lost, never put their faith and trust in Christ. They could be going to church or not. They could be actually reading their Bible. They could be doing a lot of things that look like Christianity. And the reason I know what I'm talking about, because I was one of those people. I was a natural man. I didn't understand things from the perspective of the Word of God. I understood what the man or the preacher said. And my desire was to follow. I never had a desire not to. I just never had the Spirit of God to help me and guide me in that. But nonetheless, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Again, the point is that natural man, he needs the Spirit of God to understand the things of God. The natural man is like Adam. I mean, just like Adam. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. Adam was the natural man. Christ is the spiritual. The natural man doesn't have the Spirit of God. Jude 1:18-19 says, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. The natural man. The natural man cannot please God. Romans 8:5-8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, now this is talking more about the carnal mind, to be honest with you, being a carnal Christian, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are after the flesh, or excuse me, are in the flesh, it says, cannot please God. What's the number one goal of a Christian? Please God. That's what it should be. And if I asked everybody in this room and I went to you and had a personal conversation and sat down at the desk with you, you'd say, that's what I want to do. There's nobody in this room who wouldn't say, that's what I want to do. I want to please God. Because that spirit inside of you, it tells you that's what you want to do. It drives you to that point. And of course, we're all struggling with that whole thing, of course. If you're not saved, you're not part of the flock. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So believing not Christ is not being part of the flock. The flock of Christ. You can be the flock of Calvary Bible Church and not be the flock of Christ. It can happen. I don't think that's the case here, but I'm just saying it can happen. John chapter 3, speaking of Nicodemus and Christ, he told him that to see the kingdom of God, he had to be, there's the light, had to be born again. So if you're not born again, you're the natural man. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Think about this. There are a lot of people that are going to be in this position. You cannot love God, and really the Bible says you're of the devil in John chapter 8. The natural man cannot know the things of God. We've already seen that. But in John chapter 6, verse 45 through 45, it says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you see how important it is to get the word out? That's what he said in that passage, that those who come to him, they hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Okay? Hath heard, excuse me, it says, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So sometimes we ask ourselves, there are people who do not grasp the things of God. Okay? It's just really, it's hard to understand. I know what that is. I know what it is to sit at the table, read the Bible, and really, I can read it at face value, but not really understand it. That's where my pastor was really good preaching, and Sunday school teachers that I was set under, they could explain those things to me to the point where I could understand them. And I thought, well, that's pretty neat. And I'm telling you, it was night and day. The night I got saved, I opened the Word of God and read Acts chapter 2. Now, I don't know why God put me there. I do, because he was telling me, remember when you were the natural man? You didn't understand this stuff. And my eyes just opened up to the Word of God for the first time in my life. I've experienced that firsthand the first night I got saved. Now, that doesn't mean if you didn't experience it as you're not saved. I'm telling you what happened to me. From the night that I was lost to the day or that night I got saved, there was a difference. And it wasn't me. I went and looked in the mirror. I looked hard in the mirror. I was looking for something, you know, maybe more hair. I don't know what it was. There's got to be a change here. There was nothing. I was the same person on the outside, but the inside changed. And that's what was amazing to me. There was power in that. And God gave that to me and gave it to each one of you that know Christ. It's to know about God personally. And a lot of people don't understand that. You need to be able to walk in His shoes, to step where He stepped. Not necessarily physically in the places, but spiritually. That's what He's called us to do. He didn't call us to be rich and famous and all this stuff that the world seeks. He calls us to suffer, to have hardship in this life. Why? For the cause of Christ. In other words, for Christ's sake, he says, him first. And there will be, when we get that to that point where we can just surrender everything to him, which I won't do that until I see him face to face, I'm sure. But that's what it is. It's knowing about him in the deepest way you can know him. You know, Bible tells us in James 2:9 that the devils believe in God, but yet they tremble. A lot of people say they believe in God and don't know Christ as their Savior. In John chapter 1, verse 12, Jesus was sharing, when he came into his own received him not. When you study the Bible, you find out that he sent his 12 disciples. He sent those out to the Jews specifically, because he wanted to do that first. He wanted to make sure that they got the word of God first. Because he came unto his own. Remember the woman that came up to him, and I can't remember what chapter it's in. She was just wanting some crumbs off his table. Excuse me. She was a Gentile. He said, I've not come to the Gentiles. I've come to the Jews. And she said, well, even the dogs get the crumbs off the table. And he realized her faith, and he said, so great, I can't remember how he said it, but she had great faith. And so she received Christ. And the point is that he came to his own, and when his own wouldn't receive him, John chapter 1:12, the next one after 11 says, but as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that is the key right there. That is what makes the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man, is having the relationship. But then we come to the next one, in verse 15 and 16. He says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And what he's saying is, if we will judge ourselves and make sure that we have a right relationship with Christ, that we're walking with him, then nobody else will have any call to judge us because we're walking with the Lord. Now, again, that's one of those things that I think is going to be accomplished, completely sealed, finished when I see the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's something I strive for today. We don't live the Christian life out of pride. That's where the fundamental movement has messed up so bad over the years. Because they think in their minds, hey, I'm trying to serve the Lord. And I think their heart was right in the beginning, wanting to serve God, wanting to please God, do those things that God has said, separate themselves, which is important. The Bible teaches us that in many different areas. But separate ourselves for the cause of Christ, to live this godly life, that we can help others see Jesus Christ. But I think sometimes we get prideful in that. And we look down on lost sinners, which by the grace of God, that's who I would be and you would be. It's only because someone prayed for you, someone shared the word of God, and you received Christ as your Savior. Other than that, you're just like those people. You still have the battles they have, a lot of those. Not all of them, but a lot of them. So we don't want to get prideful. It's trying to learn the humility that God is first in our life. And it's only by the grace of God. That's why I say it's so important. And can I iterate this and do this over and over again? And I want to say this as much as I can, because I don't think we hear it that much anymore today. When we're talking to people about the successes and the things that are going on in our lives, please remind them it's all God. If you got a bunch of eyes in that, it's all pride. Does that make sense? I did this. I did this. I did this. I did this. The world, that's what they're seeking, is pride, to be lifted up. We, on the other hand, as Christians, we want to turn that around and lift Christ up. It's not me. I'm thankful God uses me, but if it wasn't God, I wouldn't be here. Period. That's just the way that is. If it wasn't God, that I wouldn't be alive today. If it's not God, there's nothing that I could do or hope for. There's nothing. It's all Him. He's the one that gives me the very breath I have, the very life I live. And anything that I accomplish, it's because the Spirit of God that indwells me allowed me to accomplish that. And I want to make sure people know that. Because when we're talking about the Lord, it makes a difference. Because you'll find out there'll be some people that draw to you, a lot more will draw away from you. But there'll be some that will draw to you because they're looking for something. And they see your life is different. You're not like everybody else. But you're different because you have a master that you serve. And people know that. And that's what we want to do, is make sure we make much about Christ. So verse 16 says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? Of course, rhetorical question. Nobody knows the mind of the Lord that we can instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ so we can be instructed, so we can find out what He wants us to do and lead us. This is the spiritual man. This is the man that loves the Lord. He's maturing in Christ. Hey, he hadn't arrived yet. He may never, we never will until we see Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But it's somebody that is striving, trying to know more. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's saying we're going to get there if we just keep working at it. Not to be perfect in the sense that we think perfect means, but in the sense that we're going to be completed in Christ. And that's what we want. Philippians 3:15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if any thing be ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. As we, as Christians, seek the Lord, it's that old triangle. We talk about the husband and wife. And it's true. You know, as the husband and wife each draw closer to God, what happens to them when you look at that triangle? That's right. It's the same with believers. As each believer is seeking the Lord and trying to find out the wisdom of God and live in that wisdom, we grow closer together. When one does it, we get farther apart. Did you notice that? Here we are, and you go up here, you're farther apart, right? That is a demonstration when that happens in our church that somebody, me or anybody else, could be not looking to the Lord and trusting Him. And that's what happens when we have divisions. That's what's happening to this church. That's why they're having these divisions and strifes. All right, we've run out of time, so we'll pick this back up. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God to bless our time. Father, we thank you so much for your love, and I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for Paul, who was surrendered to you, as sometimes we realize that you give us men and women that we can look at, not to be the ultimate example, but somebody that has been able to live their life and trust you. Not perfect, as Paul had said in his life, the things he should do, he didn't do, and the things he shouldn't do, he did do. Paul, just like us, is human and has the flesh, and he struggled, but also he had victories. And Father, help us to see that, and let us focus on the victories, and let us look to you, that we can lean on you and trust you. And we'll thank you for what you do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.